Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Bob, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Jim. Good to be with you and good to be with our listeners out there.
Bob, we have several listener questions to get to today. The first one is from Bob Benton. Hi, Jim and Bob. I've heard you many times say that in all previous post-bubble contractions that the senior currency always remains chronically strong. I understand this and the reason for it. However, I'm wondering if this time it may be truly different, and I'll explain why I'm asking. The dollar is the reserve currency. However, many countries have realized after the U.S. sanctioned Russia, the U.S. has now weaponized the dollar. As a result, the BRICS nations, along with many others, have an interest in possibly joining together to build a de-dollarization atmosphere. Obviously, this process is not going to occur overnight, but there does seem to be a strong movement in that direction. So basically, he's asking, is the U.S. dollar going to remain strong? Because the BRICS are talking about bringing in a currency, a digital currency called the unit, that's 40% backed by gold.
Yeah, the BRICS people are sort of out there and they don't like the U.S. dollar being the senior currency. And the first blush on this thing, they were talking about having it backed by commodities. You don't want to have a currency backed by commodities. So it showed that they really didn't know what the hell they were talking about. And it's the world financial markets that decide which is going to be the senior currency. In the 1300s, the financial market was in Antwerp, and guilder was the senior currency. And that's when, then in the 1500s, it was still there. And that's when Gresham wrote to Elizabeth in England that owing money from a weak currency into a strong senior currency, you don't want to have that. So at any rate, the world has been, prior to recent, it was the pound sterling and London was the financial center. Then in the early parts of the 1900s, it shifted over to New York and the U.S. dollar. And we know there are a lot of transactions done in U.S. dollars. And if you take a country like Argentina that owes a lot of U.S. dollars, they really condemn the U.S. dollar because they have the problem of trying to service their debt obligations in New York in U.S. dollars. So they have to sell something in order to lay their hands on a dollar, in order to meet their obligations in New York. So the huge debt bubble out there that people are concerned about, a majority of it is likely written and due and payable in U.S. dollars. So the huge debt bubble is actually, you could describe it as a short position of dollars. So this time, trust me, it ain't going to be different. the U.S. dollar will continue to firm. Now, the main way of deflating it is through the consumer price index, or the annual rate, or the rate of inflation as it's published monthly, which is boring. So what we've done is taken the gold price and deflated it by the CPI, the CRB, the Commodities Index, and we've also assumed that the CRB, Commodities Index, is a proxy for mining costs. So it doesn't matter what the U.S. dollar is doing. By this method, if the bullion price is outperforming the costs of mining, the gold miners are making money. So when you buy the gold stocks on a stream of increasing earnings, you're an investor. And then also you're going to get the condition whereby some equity fund managers who normally wouldn't buy the golds, we're going to look at a couple of quarters with the GDXJ outperforming the S&P, and they're going to have to get into the best performing sector. So, now the gold price is deflated by the CRB. You can get it every day. I mean, you don't have to wait once a month, for God's sake. So anyways, it's up there, and overbought a month ago, had a nice correction, and is back up there again. It looks like it wants to break out. So we'll see what happens over the next little while. But the main thing is that that the bullion price relative to the commodity index, with commodities falling relative to the bullion, the gold miners are making more money. And then also, previous great bubbles have been followed by great depressions, and the gold miners do well in a great depression when most of commerce and industry is having a problem. And that's not all easy going, though. You know, you've got the business cycle in there, and at times the golds could get overbought. But you're going to have some juniors out there, who knows, that could make a world-scale discovery of gold. And you could have a junior gold stock, you know, soaring to the moon, as I put in an article I'm writing now. Fabulous comes to mind on some of the gold discoveries that could be made in the sector over the next few years.
We have several questions from Michael. The first one, Zero Hedge alarmingly reports that the average number of sunspots witnessed last month was the highest seen since 2001. Some cycle experts point out that this explains the current irrational exuberance in the markets that will result in a major crash as the sunspot cycle peaks in the next couple of months. Other pundits point to a myriad of Hindenburg omens not seen since 1929. Bob, do these spotty predictions and omens have any credibility? Will the much-awaited cosmic market crash happen in the next 60 days?
Yeah, well, sunspot's been of interest for me for decades. I originally took a major in geology and geophysics, so hey, that's in that sector. All I could find is that if there was something going on in society, like a war or something like that, with sunspots going up, it may make society a little more active and busy than otherwise, but it's not something you would use in a forecasting model. So, no, we don't see that. And then there's something about the myriad of Hindenburgs. Hindenburg is a fascinating... I like the name, the Hindenburg Omen. And it's a relationship between upside, a number of stocks making 52-week highs and the number making 52-week lows and some jiggery pokery going on. So the best way to phrase it is not with the term myriad, which is open-ended, but there have recently been some Hindenburg omens. And the note on omens is that not every omen is followed by a crash, but every crash has been preceded by a Hindenburg omen. So we've got a few confirmed omens. Now also, and somebody saying they've got Hindenburg omens in 1929, I just checked with Ross. You can't do it. You can't get 52-week highs and 52-week lows and stuff like that back in 1929. So somebody's doing imaginary research.
Now, the Hindenburg itself, the famous Zeppelin that burned and crashed in New Jersey, you know why it crashed? It wasn't the hydrogen. It was painted with aluminum oxide, which is rocket fuel. That's what they used to get the space shuttle
space. The fabric burned wonderfully well.
Yes.
Once the hydrogen was ignited.
Yes. So don't paint your flying objects with rocket fuel is the message here.
Good idea. Yeah. I make that a rule, Jim. I never paint anything with
since that Smithsonian Institute investigation.
Yeah.
The second question for Bob from Michael. It seems in recent market crashes, gold goes down 20-25% due to liquidity needs and margin calls. Do you see this happening again in the next market crash? And if so, will we have to wait long for gold to bottom before we add to our bullion and mining share positions?
Yeah, good question. It's in the complexities. Often the senior currency firms up, so the price in gold in U.S. dollars, could turn down. But the key thing, as I'm going to emphasize again, is gold's real place, and a good way of deflating it is by the CRB, and it's been acting very well. So for about 7 months now, the real price has been going up by this one, which means costs are going down. So the existing gold miners have been doing very well. So we're watching out there at some point, some juniors going to come up with a major world-scale discovery, and everybody go crazy. It'll be such fun.
And Michael has another question, and I think it's connected to the last one he asked. Most of the gold stocks are up for the year. What are your thoughts on selling now to lock in profits and buying them back at lower prices in the future?
Oh, boy, that's always a theory, but gosh. It looks like the index, GDXJ, it became overbought a month ago. Took a brief correction. And it looks like it's ready to break out, which let's just see how that goes. But keep in mind, if the world discovers a financial disaster out there by into October, the gold shares will then sell off. But they will be the gold mining will become the premier industry over the next 20 years. So,
Bob? Well, take a look at some of the headlines that caught your eyes when our program continues.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Some of the headlines that caught your eye today. The first one from Zero Hedge, gloom surrounds Jeff Curry's Super Bowl copper thesis. Explain your thesis to the panel, Bob.
Yeah. Well, I looked up Jeff Curry. He's a big name on Wall Street, and he has been calling, as the headline says, for a Super Bowl for copper. But copper peaked at 520 in early May and has suffered a pretty good correction. And our case is that the best is in for copper for this bull market.
Another headline that caught your eye, diamond prices crashed to multi-decade lows as art, wine, and Rolex markets sour.
Yeah, we ended up with a chart on diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was based on one carat whatever, you know. And within the notes on it, those who were buying half carat diamonds, meaning the little player, they were falling the most. So high wealthy accounts are not buying, and maybe selling. But the Johnny Completely, the small retail account, he's getting burned and selling out. So yeah, and then mentioned, you know, art, wine. Well, I'm all right here. I don't have in inventory any $8,000 of Chateau Margaux, but some people might have it.
Yes, I did get a Rolex watch from Hong Kong. $29.95. It says Rolex on it. It must be real. And as for art, incredibly stolen Youssef Karsh portrait of Winston Churchill recovered in Italy. It was that famous picture of him scowling that was in the in Quebec City.
Yeah.
And it was stolen, and somebody replaced it with a duplicate. And the guy who bought the actual stolen art thought it was just a duplicate, paid something like 10 grand for it.
But fascinating story.
Yeah. So he said it was like I had a copy I thought was a copy of the Mona Lisa, but instead it was the real thing hanging up in my house for a while. And he's glad that it's being returned to its rightful owners.
Yeah.
From Zero Hedge, what if all the conventional models failed to predict what happens next?
That's a good headline, isn't it? Yeah, it's very difficult to predict what happens next. I mean, most models extrapolate. They take the trend for the last 6 months and say it's going to continue. So the trick is to watch. Now, of course, what precedes a reversal when you're at a top is straight-up action, which we got in July. Straight-up in all kinds of things. The Magnificent Seven stock, and within that there were some, shall we call them, ephemeral stocks that went straight up and then straight down, and maybe they're in the process of disappearing. So we did have, now, it's the old saying, sell in May and go away, and but what we were looking for is that the stock market could be really quite robust up to mid-year. But as we're going through that, we wrote that if the action was not overbought at the sunshine you usually get in May and June, then it would just be a modest correction in a bull market. But if the action got overbought, it could be setting the high, saying it's the end of the game. And indeed, it did become screamingly overbought, and the first crack was severe. And we've had kind of a rebound here, but I think that the stock market is defined as measured by the S&P is going to roll over into a bear market.
Headline: Silver, the unsung hero of the new economy.
Oh yeah, the silver bugs go on about the fundamentals, supply, demand, and every year since I've been in the business, and it's a long time, the silver bugs have been going on that there's a shortage of supply. And they then hypothecate this shortage of the supply into silver is always going to rise. But no, silver, there's a financial component that influences the silver price. And when you're in a boom, and of course the standard is gold, and the gold-silver ratio goes down. And then when you're in a bust, the gold-silver ratio goes up. This, you can trace this one back 300 years on that one. And so we watch it. Now, gold-silver ratio has been choppy recently. But if it turns to a serious rise, it would be a warning on problems in the credit market. So we will keep people advised on that. But at the moment, it's you could say it's a positive on the silver gold silver ratio. But now, on the possibility of a long bull market during the next great contraction for golds, the gold silver ratio will be adverse to silver. So I think there'll be more money made in junior gold stocks than in junior silvers.
And of course, you have to do your due diligence when you're buying a junior stock. You better investigate it very thoroughly, right?
Oh, yeah. You want to make sure you're dealing with good management. The broker you're dealing with is solid. But we've got a list of junior gold stocks. Let's call it a balanced portfolio in the sector. It's a business way of getting some exposure in small cap stocks. Back in 1996, we did a list of 5 junior gold stocks. And one of them turned out to be Arequipa. And it went up to $30. And it was taken over by Barrick for $1.1 billion. Not bad for a penny stock, is it? But so you don't know which one or if it'll happen. But if you have a portfolio of junior golds, you could be in for some good action. You could also be in a stock that gets stalled out and stuck. But it's not a bad way of going about it.
The late David Smith, who is an expert in investing in precious metals, told me when he investigated a junior company, he always looked at the travel habits of the executives. Do they fly first class or do they fly economy? Because that tells you how closely they watch the spending habits of the company.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. Yeah.
Well, what about business class? It's halfway.
It's still more expensive than standard class. So
for me, it's the length of the trip.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I'm flying to London, I don't mind spending the extra money for the comfort because it's a long flight. If I'm popping over to Calgary, I'll sit on a pogo stick, for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah, to get there.
Yeah.
Headline from the Financial Times. Companies issue record level of U.S. debt to avoid market turbulence and election risk.
Yeah, I read the story with the brief intro on the story on that one. And yeah, they're just wanting to get their balance sheet flushed up. They're all chuffed about which way the election is going to go and all those things. So they were building a war chest to handle whatever may happen, but then adding corporate debt is not a good thing to do either. But I like the headline.
And our last headline, a study finds 72% of people who damage climate should face jail time. 72% of people want that for crimes against nature.
Oh, yeah, no, it's astounding. Absolutely astounding. And there is actually no link between temperature change of the atmosphere and the amount of CO2 in that atmosphere. I mean, going back to the Holocene, I think it was up, very much higher than now. Actually, 400 parts per million in geological sense is the low side. As a matter of fact, if it gets below 150 parts per million, life on this planet will shut down, seriously. But no, the CO2 varies. It's on a very sharp increase recently, and I think that could be due to mankind's use of energy, fossil fuels, all that sort of stuff. But hey, we're living a pretty good life, and the increase in CO2 is keeping us away from the dreadful 150 parts per million. And it's helping to green the planet with, the southern part of the Sahara Desert is losing to green growies. And it shows that they've got pretty good satellite photos on this stuff. So, no, I'm all for global warming.
China has made great progress replanting trees to take back the Gobi Desert that at one time was the Gobi Forest.
Yeah. There's one that comes to mind on Canada's Arctic Ocean. In the summertime when it's free of ice, there's a beach there. And standing there is about maybe 8-9 feet up is the stump of a tree that would have grown there and during the Holocene, let's use the term optimum. Climate researchers decades ago would call the warm phases optimum. So you had the Holocene optimum, and then you had the medieval optimum, and you had before that, the Roman optimum. So I'll use that when you're in the nice beneficial warming periods, it is a climate optimum. Let's use that.
And this poll was about crimes against nature. Does that include wearing socks with your Birkenstocks? Is that a crime against nature?
Oh, that's definitely. Oh. We're now past Labor Day, and we missed our advice, is that no more wearing of white shoes after Labor Day. And even in season, I don't agree with wearing a white belt with trousers, you know.
Well, I've never done that, Bob, so thank goodness, huh?
Oh, yeah.
The Herb Tarlick look for fans of WKRP in Cincinnati.
Oh, wasn't that a great show? Oh, it was so good.
And having spent my entire adult life in radio, it is so close to true, but I have never seen a Jennifer at the reception desk.
Oh, no.
Close, but never a Jennifer.
Gorgeous, yeah.
Yeah. Bob, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Yeah, Jim, good to be with you, and let's look forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.